This is a HelpNet Security Podcast, your premier source for information security news.
We're here at the RSA conference with Jerry Caponera, VP Cyber Risk Strategy at Nehemiah Security, to discuss some interesting thoughts on cyber risk assessment and disclosure requirements. Jerry, thanks for joining us. Would you please share a little bit about your background with us, what Nehemiah does, and maybe how you came to join the company?
Sure, Brian. Thanks for asking. So Nehemiah, we're in the business of helping organizations quantify what their exposure is to cyber attacks and helping them prepare to answer the three questions they need to answer, which are how much risk are they willing to accept, what options do they have to transfer that risk, and then how do they mitigate that risk. I got into this space, I've been a geek my whole life, ever since I was a kid, but I've been in cyber for about the last 10 or 12 years, and I noticed that every year I come to RSA, I see more and more products. Up to 2,000, I think, products on the floor. And the challenge always bothered me was, how does an organization know what they should really be doing? And so when I joined Nehemiah, I loved that they had a foundation upon which to build in order to put a quantifiable, verifiable number on that cyber risk. Because I think at the end of the day, if we can do nothing but help companies start to think about cyber from a business perspective, not just a technical one, we'll have done good. We really will.
Let's start the discussion with your perspective on what cyber risk is. It's a pretty fascinating area within cybersecurity. Let's talk a little bit about how companies today are measuring it and what they may or may not be getting out of that process.
So it's interesting. Most organizations have some understanding that they are at risk to cyber attacks. I read a recent report of over 400 CEOs who said that cyber risk was their number one risk as an organization, and yet only 26% of those CEOs thought they were prepared. And so that in and of itself helps to set this kind of baseline for where the industry is today. If organizations believe cyber is their biggest risk, yet they don't know that they're prepared for it, we're not doing something correct. And I think part of the challenge is that we're still trying to apply, high, medium, or low, very subjective measurements like high, medium, or low, or red, yellow, and green to cyber risks when cyber is asymmetrical. You're having to deal with a person on the other end of that who's causing the risk. And yet at the same time, that person can cause a really large financial impact to your organization. Companies struggle with pulling those three together. I've seen it in enterprises. I've seen it in the cyber insurance world as well, too. We really have to get to the point where we get past where we're at today, which is high, medium, low, and red, yellow, greens, and kind of into that next generation of translating cyber risk into business terms.
I think that's a good point to shift lanes a little bit into the many regulations being put into place that affect how companies manage cyber risk. Let's talk about what's different about how the GDPR dictates reporting on cyber risk versus the SEC's established guidelines. Do you think these regulations are doing enough? Should they be improved upon? What are your thoughts there?
No, it's a great question. I'm probably one of the handful of people who say I'm grateful for what the European Union did with GDPR. Mm-hmm. Not normally being a guy who's big on compliance, the thing I love most about GDPR is they put dollar values into their fines. They put teeth into them. I have four kids, and I always found that if you don't put a carrot and a stick out there, the carrots never get taken. And so what GDPR did is they said, hey, if you get fined, I'm gonna whack you for 4% of your revenue, which, think of 4% of your revenue. That can be a really big number. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great way to kind of start companies thinking that way. It's thinking down the lines of, if I don't do something, there's a real fine there, real dollar values. What the SEC did recently, they released some guidance, which was good, but it's kind of the crawl. I mean, it's definitely not as far as the GDPR went. They're basically telling organizations that they need to start reporting on what their material cybersecurity risks are. That's the guidance they gave them, which is kind of a lightweight first step into the pond, I guess, if you will, of helping companies think about that. So did it go far enough? No. I'd love to see us get into a GDPR-like, kind of take the best of GDPR, evolve it for what we're doing, but get to the point where companies need to start not only disclosing what those risks are in dollars and cents, but know that they're going to get fined. There's a stick waiting on the other end if they don't do something to prevent it.
Fascinating. Let's talk a little bit about what material cyber risk is. What are some examples of material risk companies must identify and how they can go about doing that?
So the SEC took that term, I believe, from the fact that in all of their other financial reporting, you have to report material risks to your business. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it in that context, what's a material risk to my business if I'm in the manufacturing or distribution world, right? If I don't get product, if there's a potential storm, or if there's potential labor challenges, or if the where I'm importing it from there's challenges, it can materially impact the key things in my organization. Well, that is a great, I love what the SEC did with that, because that really forces companies to think, what is material to my business from a cyber perspective? If you're an e-commerce retailer, a material risk to your organization is a cyber attack between November 26th and December 24th. A material risk doesn't exist on December 26th necessarily, right? So what that does for businesses, and what a material cyber risk is, what is that business that I'm in, and then how does that tie, how does a cyber attack potentially impact that? It forces companies to start thinking about, where digitally are my biggest assets, and what can a cyber attack do to them? And that's the first step in turning this technical conversation we tend to have in cyber into a business one. Because we want companies to think that if you're e-commerce, worry about your shopping platform on November 26th. If you're in financial services, mm-hmm. and you've got a trading platform, let's talk about what the material risk for that is. And so it really helps organizations start to prioritize those applications or services based on what matters to their business most.
Okay, so from your perspective, what can companies start doing now to prepare possibly facing even more cyber risk regulations?
Where I see this going, as I think we're starting to scratch the surface, I think cyber in the last few years has really started to make the leap from technical to business because of the money involved. You know, when Verizon went to buy Yahoo, and then Yahoo disclosed that they had a breach, Verizon knocked $350 million off the price mm-hmm. tag, which is not a small number.
Right.
And so I think that is that, among other things, has really started to build this trend towards what's coming from a regulation perspective. So I think where you're going to see over the next 3 to 5 years, and there's actually a bill in Congress right now to increase the Sarbanes-Oxley requirements for organizations to start reporting on financial risk through there. So long-winded answer to say, more is coming in terms of forcing organizations to prioritize what their material risks are. So the best thing the organization can do today is to start with a simple understanding of do a business inventory. Mm-hmm. Do an inventory on the business processes that matter most, and figure out those applications that power them. Because what I tend to find, and especially in medium to large companies, is they might have a portfolio of 1,500 different business applications, but they're not all equal value. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get to kind of that material risk, the only way companies can really start to prepare, is to start from the top down and start to drive what matters most to our business. What do we do that needs to be protected from a cyber perspective, and then start to drill down into identifying what supports them. You can do a business continuity planning. You can do a business impact analysis. Those are terms that organizations have done. Those are two great ways to start thinking about how you build that inventory of what you have. There's even frameworks out there like IDLE, which is a great way to build a process map, which shows me what's my processes at the business level tied to those systems. I would suggest that companies start getting their house in order, mm-hmm. because there is increased regulation coming. Fines will start to come, and the only way you're going to be ready is to prepare business mappings to the technologies that support them.
Okay, so as we bring this in for a landing, what advice do you have for board members or other executives, or even down to the technical IT team, on how to best communicate about their organization's risk? In other words, what do you tell people who don't know where to start?
That's a great question. And so one of the things that we've done here at Nehemiah is, you know, we've built our platform in a way that shows what I like to call a traceable, verifiable route to understanding what your cyber risk is. The very first thing I would suggest to the board is to start with understanding what that kind of top-level business processes are, tie them to the applications, and then trace that all the way down to the endpoints or computers that get hacked. Because while we talk about cyber from a business risk perspective, it is, at the end of the day, it's the technology that gets attacked, whether it be our credentials, our computers, our servers, and so on and so forth. So my suggestions to the board would be, start an initiative to build out and to understand what your cyber risk is in dollars and cents, because that's the only thing that really matters. Start with the things that matter most. Have a short conversation about what matters most. And the way I'll describe that is, if you wake up tomorrow morning and you're breached, and you find out it was to X process or Y application, what would your reaction be? Would it cost you your job? Would somebody come after you? Start there, and then start to prioritize the applications that power that, and down into the endpoints that actually make that work.
Awesome. Jerry Caponera, VP Cyber Risk Strategy at Nehemiah Security. Thanks for your time. We appreciate you joining.
Thanks, Brian. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening. For fresh information security news, visit us at www.helpnetsecurity.com.